This message was recorded December 13, 2020. The speaker is David Simpson.
Now we take our Bibles and turn in the Old Testament again to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, and we're in chapter 17. We are still studying the men and the women of faith that are referred to in Hebrews 11. But we're close to coming to an end. This is our 150th message in this series that we began back in July of 2017. We're looking at the story of David, and we could go on for a long time talking about David, but this is going to be our last. So David is an example of faith, and this is a preeminent example of David as a man of faith in this passage. The story of David is a real story. It's a literal story. No one could possibly deny that. But it is also a typical story. Saul, who is the king of Israel, typifies corrupt Israel. And Goliath typifies worldly strength. David typifies Christ the deliverer. We have seen David as God's elect, back in chapter 16. God's musician, also in chapter 16. He's God's servant here in the first part of chapter 17. He's God's called one from verse 19 following in 17. And today we're going to talk about David as God's warrior. David is God's warrior. I want to try to give you several things concerning David as we consider him as a man of faith. First of all, in verse 32 and 33, David was a man of courage. In verse 32, and David said to Saul, let me try to set the scene for you first. The Philistines are on the western edge, just across a valley from the Israelites. The Israelites are gathered with their small army, very inept. They could not possibly stand if the Philistines invade. Saul is with his, and the Philistines, of course, are there, and their principal figure is this giant Goliath. And the way they did it in that day was they would have one man challenge another. So the best warrior from one side would come out, the best warrior from the other would come out, and whoever won, that would be the winner. They still might invade, but they still had to have this single fight. So Goliath, in the early part of this chapter, is standing and he is challenging the Israelites. And David is sent by his father, Jesse, out to bring food to his brothers who are old enough to be at war. David's not really old enough. He's a younger guy, and he is going to stay home and take care of his dad and his sheep. But when he gets there, he hears what's going on, that nobody's willing to go out and to face them. And so David then makes his way up to King Saul, and that's what we have, is David's interchange with King Saul. So I can pick up again in verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, that is, because of Goliath. Thy servant, referring to himself, will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. So David encouraged Saul, and David encouraged his fellow countrymen, and obviously we can see that David is a man of courage. Saul responds and said, you don't have the strength of body, you don't have the military skill. Goliath was trained from his youth up. He's taller than everybody in the whole world. He's a proven warrior. There's no way that you can go out and defeat Goliath. But then we come to a second thing about David in verse 34 through 37. We learn that David is a doer. Not only is he courageous, David is a doer. Look at verse 34 through verse 37. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion, and there came a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after it, and I smote him, and I delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him, and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, I guess he's sort of exasperated. He said, "All right, go, and the Lord be with thee." Now, Saul didn't have any faith in David and what he was doing, but he still was willing to tell him to go ahead and go. So David told his story as a man of spirit and as a man of the spirit. He held no shame for being a lowly shepherd and caring for his father's sheep. He's just as honest and straightforward. He had spent many a solitary day and night on the hillside of Judah doing exactly that thing, and that is contemplating who God was. From his youth, which he was still in his youth, but from his earliest youth, he had learned to worship the invisible God, but also the ever-present Lord of the heavens and the earth. And that worship is going to be poured out ultimately in his Psalms. So when you study David, if you're going to study him accurately, you will study all of the Psalms. But that worship that is in him is poured out in those Psalms. As a mountaintop lake can do nothing but reflect the glory of the sun, David saw himself as nothing more than a reflection of God's glory. And that's the way we all ought to see ourselves. He saw himself as the reflection of the Almighty Sovereign God. He had contentment through communion with God, pondering his qualities, meditating upon his works, both celestial, things in the heaven, and terrestrial, things up on the earth. I would imagine that he thought about the things that he had heard about how God had worked in the Old Testament of Abel, who had offered a blood sacrifice to God as he had been instructed, of Noah, who had obeyed God as a preacher of righteousness, of Abraham, who had been called out of the Ur of the Chaldees, of Joseph, whose brothers meant evil against him, but God meant good, of Moses, that at his hand the Israelites had been delivered from the hand of bondage of the mighty Egyptians, of Joshua, who had led the fledgling nation into the land of promise, of Gideon, with just 300 men, had won a victory against the mighty Midianites, perhaps of Samson, who in great feats overcame and defeated stronger armies, of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz, and their Redeemer, of Hannah and her prayer, of Samuel and his faithfulness. David had been out on the hillside without a newspaper, not a cell phone, not a TV, not internet, not a handheld device to cloud his thinking. He was shocked to hear that anyone would defy and debase the Lord of glory. But moreover, he was also astounded that some not mighty warrior of Israel would stand up and fill the gap and fight against these Philistines. It's almost as if there is a private rage within David that there isn't someone who will step up. And he hears this blasphemy that's coming from Goliath, and he says, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll treat him just like I did the lion. The lion came, he grabbed one of my sheep, I went out, and with my left hand I grabbed his beard, and with my right hand I took my knife and I killed him. And a bear came, and also I confronted that bear, and I had a spear, and I had a knife, and now that lion's head is hanging on my dad's wall, and the bear is a bearskin in his house. So I'll tell you, if I could fight against the lion, if I could fight against the bear, I can also fight against this Goliath." So he tells what he can do, and he believes reasonably that he's able to do that. And so he's going to lay down his life to do exactly that thing. Preeminently in all of this, David typifies the one who gave his life for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for his sheep. He laid down his life for his lambs, for his sheep, and the Lord Jesus laid down his life for us. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep." And so there are the sheep and there are goats, and he laid down his life for the sheep. And David was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. David was a doer. So he's courageous. He was a doer. Here's another thing about David. In verse 38 down through verse 40, we learn that David was faithful. Look in verse 38. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he also armed him with a coat of mail, and that would have been a metal that would have covered around the middle part of his body, what they call the loins, the lower part of his back. And David, in verse 39, girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed or thought or prepared to go, for he had not proved the armor. So here's what David said unto Saul. He said, I can't go with all this, for I've not proved it. I've not been trained with it. I've not prepared to do this. So David took off the helmet. He took off the armor that was around his body. He took off the shin guards. He took, laid down that big sword that had been given to him. And in verse 40, he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, of course, with him, even in a scrip, just a small bag that he would hang around his shoulder, like a sort of like a purse a lady would wear today, is the way I pictured. And his sling was in his hand, so he had his sling and had his stones, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, Goliath has a spear in each hand, and he has a shield bearer that is going before him, so he's not even carrying his own shield. So out in front of Goliath is a shield bearer, and he has a spear in each hand, and he has a big heavy helmet upon his hand covering his most of his face, all but his eyes that he can see out of. David had no breastplate, no helmet, no loins protection, no spear, no bow, no arrows. All he carried with him was what he had carried when he was a shepherd. And so what armor Saul has represents the arm of the flesh. But David only needed one thing, and that is to stand with what God had trained him in by providence and stand in the Spirit. Now you might ask, why did he choose 5 stones? Why didn't he just choose 1? Well, if you were to look in 2 Samuel 21 and verse 22, you will learn that Goliath had 4 sons. So I think that David was preparing that when he killed Goliath, that those 4 sons would come after him, and so he had a stone for each of them. So we had these 5 stones. We know that David wanted to use the tried weapons that he had. We read in the book of Judges, chapter 20 and verse 16, listen to this verse, Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men that were left-handed. I wonder if this means that David was left-handed. And every one of them could sling stones at a hair's breadth, so very narrow little place, and not miss. So there were 700 men that were prepared to be very accurate. I would imagine they had contests, and they could throw those stones, sling those stones at a target and not miss. Well, that had been passed down. David is past the time of Judges, but I'm going to imagine that that has been passed down, and David has been one of those that's been trained to be very accurate with the slinging of his stone. Notice that they are smooth for easy flight, perfect accuracy, but also they are sharp for entrance into their target. So now we pick up in verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, with nothing but a staff? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. That would have been something to hear. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh into the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. David was courageous. David was a doer. David was faithful, meaning faithful to what he had been taught in God's providence. But now, in verse 41 through 44, David was disdained. David was disdained. Now, what we find out about this man, I want you to go back a little bit to the first part of this chapter. And in verse number 4, it says, "There went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath." Now, that word champion, it appears here, it appears in verse 23 and in verse 51. A champion to you and to me means something different than it did in that day. A champion to us means someone who wins a victory, correct? Champion in a, could be a football game, it could be checkers, it could be anything. You could be a champion, it's a winner. But the word champion in that day meant a middleman, like a mediator. This middleman stood between stood between Israel and the Philistines. So David would have been the champion on the other side. That would have been a middleman. And he represented, that is Goliath, represented the Philistines and typified reprobate humanity. Humanity not chosen of the Lord. And he's called Goliath of Gath. We'll not go back and look, but in two places, both in Numbers 13:33 and in Joshua 11:22, it speaks of giants in Gath. It also refers to him at his height of 6 cubits and a span. If I'm able to understand about the cubits and a span, that would have made him a little more than 11 feet tall. So now when you think about 11 feet tall, our doorways are, what, maybe 7 feet? I guess when you come in, 11 feet would maybe be up around the top of this edge. I don't know exactly, but somewhere in that range. So if Goliath came in here, we'd say he's a giant. He'd be a big man. So let's suppose he's 10 feet tall. Let's suppose I'm a little wrong in my measurement. Mine tells me he's 11 feet and 4 inches. But maybe I'm a little bit off, so maybe he's 10 feet or so. He's a big man. He is a tall man, taller than everybody else. And you know the Jews weren't very big. People have gotten bigger as time has gone on. So back in that day, those Jews would have been much smaller. David would have been a small man. There's no reason to think of him as being a large man in size at all. He is a big man. Now in verses 5 through 7, it describes what Goliath is wearing. So I'm not going to read all of that. But it's estimated that it would have been over 200 pounds. Over 200 pounds. I had a man come in to see me this week that I was able to help. And he had had a job where he had been in law enforcement. And he had to wear 70 pounds, which sounded terrible to me. He was a very strong looking man. But his body's breaking down on him now for carrying that all this time. But he had to carry these 70 pounds, had to be able to run long distance with these 70 pounds carrying his armor. I'd never heard of this. He had to carry over 900 rounds with him for the gun that he carried, and a heavy gun at that. But 70 pounds. This is 200 pounds that this man is carrying with him. Heavy, heavy armor up on him. Jesus refers to a man, not in this same instance, but Jesus referred to a man in Luke 11:22, saying all of his armor wherein he trusted. So Goliath has been trained to have a lot of trust in all of this armor that he has here. He thought himself invincible because of his size and his strength and his training and his experience. And then furthermore, he looked down upon David, and David was an unworthy opponent. And so it tells us in verse 8 that Goliath stood and cried. It means that he spoke loud. He's like a roaring lion. You remember that's what it says about, Peter said about Satan, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And then he asks this question, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array?" I'm in verse 8. "Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul?" Why does he say, "you servants of Saul"? Well, I'll tell you why. I think that the Philistines knew that Saul was a man of dismay. I thought that they knew he was a man who was given to depression and his lack of leadership that is before them. And then he uses this word in verse number 9, able. If he be able to fight me. So verse 9 through 11, that's the key to all of this. If he is able. Goliath sees himself as able, as a representative of his people, but he's really a representative of worldly strength. That is Satan's, the world's philosophy. Fallen man, his darkened mind, his corrupted affections and disabled will. That's all of what he is a picture of. On the outside, he looks strong. And Goliath challenged in verse 16, I'm still in chapter 17, verse 16, morning and evening. So every morning he would come out, every evening he would come out, and night after night, morning after morning, he came out and he challenged them. So the question is, who is going to stand up against Goliath? And that's the whole question of this whole chapter. Who is going to stand up against Goliath? Will Saul do it? No, he won't, because we know that according in chapter 16 and verse 14, Saul has an evil spirit. He's not going to do it. What about some Israelite soldier? No, in verse 11 of this 17th chapter, we learn that they are dismayed and greatly afraid. What about David's brothers? David and his brothers were reared in the same house. They had also been shepherds. What about David's brothers? No, not David's brothers. They didn't respond to go, and furthermore, they were not chosen to go. There's only one man in this story that can go and fight against Goliath and the Philistines, and the Philistines, and that is David. Because David is the representative whom God has chosen. And there was only one representative that could come to this world, take on our sin, and bear our sin away. Only one. And that was Christ Jesus, the Lord. As David was their representative, Christ is our representative. I said to you that he was his champion, is in between their representative. David is our representative. Christ is our champion, our representative. David had learned the words of Joshua, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever soever thou goest." Dismayed. His brother Eliab had taunted him, if you go back and look. King Saul had tried to discourage him. His enemy Goliath had scorned him. But David in all of this stood up against it. And he is a man of courage. He's a doer. He's faithful. He is disdained. But David is very God-honoring. So look with me in verse 45. So back here now. Verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistine." So God has spoken to him. "Now David respond, comest thou to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I'll take your head off of your body, and I will give it to the carcasses of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands." He's God honoring. Faith has to be proven to be genuine, tested to be true, challenged to be proven strong. That was true for David. It was true for Christ. It's true for you and me. David isn't ready to go to battle until he passes through being tested. Like James said, God resists the proud. God's going to take our pride from us. As with Christ, it says in Revelation chapter 19, "I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon the horse is called faithful." That's Christ. He's faithful and he's true. Now let me go on to verse 48 and 49. I'm trying to get close to finishing here. David was courageous. David was a doer. David was faithful. David was disdained. David was God honoring, and finally David was victorious. Look at verse 48 and 49. It came to pass when the Philistine arose, and he came and he drew nigh to meet David. David hasted. David didn't run away. He didn't skip from side to side. It means that David ran at him, hasted, and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag, and he took out a stone. David took that sling, slung it around his head a couple of times, and he smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. One stone in the hand of God's appointed and faithful servant was exceedingly more powerful than the great armor, the size, the strength of the non-elect, the unfaithful, the God-defying giant. David let his stone fly, knotted his leg, knotted his foot, knotted his hand, but it went right toward the brow of his pride, the forehead of his presumption, the gateway to his soul and to his brain. Yes, he has armor that's coming down through there, but that flat, smooth, sharp stone with its direct flight crushed through the brass helmet, crushed through the brass helmet with almighty power behind it, sunk into that thick skull. No telling how thick his skull was. Went through the brass, through the skin, through the skull, into the brain. Poor giant didn't know what hit him. He just fell over absolutely dead. That is a picture of Christ completely and thoroughly bearing our sin to the very end. He didn't leave a little bit of life in the giant. He totally killed him. And then he went up to him and he took away the sword. That's important. He took away the sword of the giant, the Philistines. They have to be just in awe. And the boys, those four boys of Goliath, they weren't as brave as their daddy was or stupid. And they stayed back. They didn't come running out there. And the Philistines stayed back, and they were just, they didn't know what to think. And David took his Goliath's sword, big old sword, took that thing out, and I think with two hands, cut his head off. Now, what is that a picture of? Well, Christ died with the very thing that was intended to kill him at the hand of the Romans and the Jews, and that's the cross. The cross was their instrument as the sword was Goliath's instrument, but Christ took that cross and he turned it into an emblem and a tool of redemption. Christ is the picture here. It says that through death he might destroy him that had power over death, that is the devil in Hebrews 2 and 14. So the representative of the Philistines was put to death. The representative of Jehovah was victorious. The giant of Gath brought condemnation upon his people. The shepherd of Israel brought redemption upon his people. And here's what David thought about all of this. We read it in 1 Chronicles. O Lord, there is none like thee, there neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears, and that one nation on the earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his own people. David saw himself in all of this as God working through him to redeem his people. John says, as thou wast slain and hast redeemed thy people to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Jesus' obedience and blood, his earned righteousness, which satisfied justice and fulfilled the law, God the Father gladly accepted and freely imputed that righteousness. The sin of the elect was transferred to Christ. The righteousness was transferred to him. And the assignment of that righteousness at the cross was their salvation, their redemption, their justification, their forgiveness. It's all our forgiveness. So the story of David is a story of Christ. I hope you can see it.